gentlemen. Welcome. This is TechEd Live from Amsterdam. The Dutch BI podcast. Normally we do this in Dutch, but as it is a special occasion today, we like to do it in English. My distinguished guests are again around me. I have Jeroen van der A over here. Jeroen, maybe you can briefly introduce yourself to the audience.
Hello, my name is Jeroen van der A. Perhaps you've seen my book in the stand already in the same press. I'm a co-author of Starting with Design Studio, that's the book. And basically I'm already with SubBW for around 7-8 years into the BI world since 1999. I'm feeling old while I'm saying this, but perhaps you have even more ancient experience than I have, but we'll hear all about it. And basically I turned to business objects, products, and basically Design Studio in the last year. Currently, I'm deepening my knowledge into SAP HANA and predictive analysis.
And I guess you'd like to sell your book.
Yes.
That's the reason why it's here.
Buy my book.
I think it's on special discount, €5, I guess.
That's the discount.
What is the price? Oh, that's cheap for the content. It's great.
But we have a quiz.
We have a quiz.
The winner will win a book. So stay around. Okay. You can get something for free here.
People, we have free books. So, come on, hop on over. My second guest today is Wouter from uit Goslinga. Wouter is a colleague of mine who works for CGI. Wouter?
Let me briefly introduce myself. I'm a BW consultant. As Ronald said, I work for CGI, mainly with BW and also HANA, primarily on the front-end side. I have about 7 or 8 years BW experience. This is actually my very first TechEd, so just looking around these days and contributing to this podcast.
Well, my name is Roland Knijnenburg. As you can tell by the t-shirt, I'm an SAP mentor. But that's not actually the reason why I'm here. The reason why I'm a TechEd is because of Demo Jam. That is the most important thing we have done this week, at least to us. So, what we like to do is tinker with software. So Wouter and myself and also Ramon, who is sitting over there, we were on stage last Tuesday for Demo Jam, and that was really nice. I've been a SAP consultant since 95, I think, and I've been doing BW for the last couple of years. And I'm a mentor which is specialized in SAP HANA as well as BI. And I'm a 37-year-old, and I have 3 children, and I love to knit. Right, so good.
Yeah, my name is Riel King. I'm just like you, working for Interdops. I'm in the SAP BI sphere since 2007. And nothing, Jeroen showed the book already. I'm a co-author of the book, so.
Well, we can repeat that process,
eh? Yeah, we have to repeat that process. So my interest is formerly Design Studio, dashboards, mostly front-end, but well, HANA is also a bit interesting, so we should discuss that too.
Yeah, the fun part is I knew Xavier even before I ever met the guy. I think he invented Twitter, more or less. I mean, he was always, he was one of the first always broadcasting, sharing knowledge and writing books. You want to give away your book already, or you want to do it in the end?
No, that's all right.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So we also have some people in the audience which are familiar for me. So we have the magician over there. So for the listeners at home, we have the NetWeaver magician. So I hope that he's willing to come up and give some feedback. We have Jaap van Zomeren also in the room. Jaap is a close friend of mine. That's probably the reason why he's here. But he's also an excellent BW consultant. So hopefully we can also give some feedback. And we have another guy from Interdops, we have Wilbert over there, and I also see Ivo there. Ivo, why are you not paying attention to the podcast there? So let's see if Ivo also will join in later on. Maybe just a quick round between you guys to get some feedback on the content you have consumed this week, because of course it was again massive, and even though it looks smaller than in Madrid, but number-wise, it's about the same number of people as in Madrid. So, from a BI perspective, because we are BI guys, of course, what did you like and what didn't you like?
Well, thank you. Well, this morning actually I had a session about predictive analysis, and the thing what I liked was there was a guy, very enthusiastic, and he was with the German Cancer Institute, and really explaining how he was using the tool to help to treat more patients and help them survive in the 5-year incubation. And he basically showed how with the three mechanisms he had, basically what the doctors do was, what kind of cancer do you have and how old are you and this is your treatment. What they basically did is get 21 measures, how the patient behaved afterwards, put it in the model and look what their life expectancy was. And he showed when we model that, we can get a personalized treatment for cancer and increase the life expectancy of all those patients. Not going into the nitty-gritty technical details, but how can you use the tool to actually help people? And I was quite enthusiastic about that.
Did he also show you the tool?
He did show the tool. It was the Q&A version. It was also a hands-on session early on that you could step by step have a sort limited edition of the file and see if the survival rates and the ages and the country.
And what did you think about the tool? Was it very intuitive or easy to use?
He was more from the statistician kind, so anything more than the nitty-gritty formulas is already easy to use for him. So he was mainly enthusiastic using the tool itself.
Isn't that a limitation of the current tool set? I mean, SAP has now a partnership with SAS, which in my view, I always wonder about why they do that, eh? Because SAS is a bit of the market leader, let's say. So to me, that signal gives a bit out that, more or less, they are not completely there yet with predictive analysis. I'm with lots of SAP friends, so I have to watch my back now. But maybe you can, what do you think?
Well, if you remove R, which is the freeware for all statistical formulas, that's just a basic set. They really have to widen their formulas into HANA before they really can say we're up there with SES or the big ones. For now they've said, we've developed a couple and for anything else we didn't think of yet, you can use the freeware version. Basically what you want is more to integrate way more formulas, way more options, that you have a more rich library to choose from in the statistic way.
Well, I did the hands-on session yesterday about predictive analysis, and they also showed the CakeSim software that they just acquired.
The new stuff,
and what they showed was that you don't have to choose your formulas or your model, the software is doing that for you. So you have to give up some kind of business case and tell a bit about what you want to do with it, and then the software does some magic stuff, and then you get the result.
That's the risk, the magic stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I had an example. I was thinking of an example of what you need business experience with the tool. Because you had that seasonal expectation you could figure out. And I could figure out myself, I have the sales data from the last 5 years, and I see June is my worst month of the year. And you come back and you say, well, in June you have to lower your sales expectancy. And then the deck said, last year our factory burned and we couldn't sell anything. That's why the seasonal effect from last year. So have business knowledge, because the magic box produces magic, but you have to have some common sense to know what it's doing.
Okay. Yeah, well, perhaps that's the bottom line in every tool. You need to have the business knowledge, not only the technical knowledge. So guys, from the start, have you heard anything new in the keynote at the beginning of the tech hit?
Fiori?
Has anyone seen Fiori?
Can you ask?
I see Peter there.
Maybe you guys can come up and give us some reaction on what it looked like.
Peter?
Fiori means flowers. Flowers normally look nice. And Fiori looks nice. It's limited in functionality, but I think a lot of users have enough. So it's simple transactions in easy to use screens.
I think this whole the whole UI stuff is extremely important for SAP. Yeah? I mean, back when I started in 95 or so, we only had gray screens, and then the revolution was that it, a couple of years later, it turned blue. But Fiori and also SAP UI 5, it is quite a beautiful technique. And what a coincidence! There he is, the magician. So what do you think about SAP UI5?
As you can tell, I love SAP UI5.
Wow.
But I also love the Fiori design language. The simple screens, just one task on the screen, whereas in the past you had this massive SAP GUI screen with all the fields, buttons, checkboxes you can think of. So from an end user perspective, I think Fiori is really the way forward for SAP. Not necessarily saying it is the way forward, but it's a huge step into the right direction for SAP, I think. And I think it's up to us developers and use experience guys and interaction designers to build up on that design language and make more feasible applications for the end user.
And is it something we can use for business intelligence solutions, like charts or tables?
Yeah, probably. Right now, I see Fiori more as a way of designing user interfaces. Reports, I think you guys are more well-versed in that than an interface designer can come up with. I mean, me as a rookie would design a dashboard with a few pie charts, and I know that's an absolute no-go. But I think the design language, the clean screens, the getting rid of all the noise and the distractions, that would be a way forward, yes.
Cool.
It's almost Apple-like design, eh? And minimalistic, so that's a nice Scrabble word. But that's, it looks really, really nice. The only thing which I'm still wondering about is there's always, according to me, a lot of black and white between if you want to build apps or, for instance, screen. Eh? So you always have to be a hardcore developer like Robin is, at least in my point of view, to create such a such an app. And I always wonder if there's something in between for just a simple novice user in order to generate an app themselves. And apparently, what I found out today is that SAP is going to now I wonder if I can actually say that. They're most likely going to put a tool on the market which is able to make life a little bit easier to connect to SAP UI5 screens. So I think that's something to look forward to. Anything else, Wouter? Any exciting things? License keys that expired or? Now the fun part is from my perspective, a lot of new content, not a lot of new content, I would say, because I think Xavier and myself had a discussion just before the podcast. Is actually there's quite a number of information which is already have been there. I think it's not that there is revolutionary information coming out, but still there are some new facts. I think the for Design Studio or for Fiori, Lumira, do you think there are too many tools? Lumira is now also able to connect to BW. Now that was already known, I think, last month or so, but that was something which is new. It's a bit of a shame that it's not using the new connector, the Bix connector, but it's still using a universe. So that is a bit of a downfall because I think we all remember connecting business objects with BW to Webby via universes. That's probably something you want to forget. So a new Bix connection would have been better, but at least it's a step forward when you want to connect it to BW, so that's good. And from my own perspective, we were on stage in Demo Jam, and of course that went terribly wrong during the afternoon. So the funny quote maybe is that we actually we switched on our HANA box, and the first thing that thing said was, your license key has expired. So imagine having this whole production crew next to you standing, you have to go on stage in 5 minutes, and this thing just completely died. So that was a bit of a...
Actually the problem was solved pretty quickly. We even had some guys in India for us. We emailed them and they came back with a license key within half an hour. So
don't tell anybody because otherwise we'll be training. I don't want to go there. and I had actually only once. I had a couple of sessions, and one was with Jaap, and it was yesterday morning, I think. We used the smart data connector in HANA, which is quite an interesting concept because what you can now do is connect from HANA to remote data sources, so like to Teradata or other databases. And the fun part is you can do it via the HANA Studio, so you can just create a data source connection there. And instead of getting all that data into HANA, which is a very expensive business case, of course, if you have petabytes of data, now probably not a lot of companies have that to start off, but if you want to keep the cost a bit down in HANA, you don't want to load everything. You have that, always that distinction between hot and cold data. And with the new smart data source, you can actually get data in remotely. So you're not loading it, so you're actually connecting it to a remote system. And that was quite revolutionary, according to me. It's sort of the return of the remote queue. That's something we've been known from in BW for many, many years. But you want to?
You were talking about a smart data access. What's particularly smart about it? Can it make some decisions or something like that?
Thank you for pointing that out, Ramon. This is not scripted. That was the revolutionary smart part indeed, was that the query, so you're firing off a query in the HANA Studio, and it actually knows if it needs to fire it off, let's say, on the HANA side, so in the HANA analytical engine, or on the store system side. Now, there's no magic there, because every single ODBC connector has a certain logic built in. So what SAP did is they looked at all these connectors, looked at the bad parts and the good parts. Now, the bad parts they execute and make faster in HANA, and the good parts they actually do on the source system side. So that's...
So you have virtual queues in HANA, and we have now remote connections, so we have remote virtual queues.
Yeah, almost. We have remote SQL views, because we don't have calculation or analytical views yet. We only have SQL views. Is there anything you want to add?
Well, I think it shows the right way of thinking that SAP wants to move into this kind of connections to add functionality, but still it's kind of in these starting blocks. It shows that the way it's designed, we'll still have performance issues, and there's still a lot to fix.
Yeah, it's still the first version, but actually it's quite intelligent. I have seen a workshop where they it was about connecting Hadoop to HANA. And HANA there, what HANA actually does, it's caching data that's loaded from Hadoop into this virtual HANA model. If it's needed, so you can use the scalability and cheap storage solution that is in Hadoop. You can use the performance of HANA when you need it.
It's actually funny that Ronald just mentioned the remote queue, because I was at a few BW sessions this morning, and the whole smart data access and the executing of queries on external databases, etc., is all going into BW again as well. Of course, with the open ODS concept, etc. So it's pretty funny, because it's really coming back in that
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think, by the way, about the whole BW development right now on the remote access and on the composite providers, etc.?
I think when you look at the development of BW, almost all development that has been done in BW since 7.1 has been aimed at HANA. And the BW product itself, in my opinion, it's a finished product. So all the development is going into HANA based cubes.
You don't agree?
I don't agree.
Now, tell me why.
I think Xavier had a remark first. Or...
Well, yesterday I saw the Eclipse environment for the first time of BW, and that starts to look nice. So I don't like the GUI. I hate the GUI. It doesn't make sense.
Because it's not running on Apple devices, right?
That has some part to do with it. But it's getting better now.
But no, I don't agree with the idea that BW is end of life, because first of all, about the whole historic. Aspect, and also when I look at the development, it's more as a when they're looking at current BW customers, I think they really want to make sure they preserve their current investments and bring together the whole HANA and BW worlds. And of course now a lot of customers are thinking that way with a sidecar approach, but I think they want to make it more of a BW only approach when you're already using BW, and go to HANA Studio only when you're not using BW, or when you're using only non-SAP SAP data, and when you want to use a mixture of non-SAP and SAP data, well then you can go for either sidecar or go even BW only now. So I think it's really, for current BW customers, it's really a way forward in the coming years.
Yeah, I agree, but with what I said, I didn't mean BW is end of life, but it's a pretty mature product, so...
Sorry?
No, it's not a dead product. We'll be there for years to go. Yeah, sure.
what you basically see in HANA is now you have the platform tool, but if you want to manage your enterprise data warehouse, it's lacking a lot of things that BW has. So as long you want to manage your the data warehouse environment, you need something like BW. And either BW moves to HANA or it will be a tool on itself on top of HANA. Some kind of tool will be there to manage your data warehouse, so you keep the needing that.
I think also what Sjoerd mentioned about the whole open DSO concept, or the new, I keep forgetting the name. Sometimes I have a tendency of forgetting those things, but that is with the whole choosing data fields approach or an info object approach and that sort of thing. I mean, it's quite revolutionary. I have to agree with Wouter that all the money which is going into BW is going there for one and one reason only, and that is to make sure that it's using and optimizing HANA as best as possible. But that's a good thing, right? I mean, in the end of the day, I think there are still quite some customers who will go to HANA. Having said that, of course, there is an enormous user base which is still just running BW on Oracle, and some of them still have a very good performance system. And yeah, it's a bit of a... Yeah, what do you want to do? Eh? If you really have the money, of course you go to BW and HANA, but yeah.
I like to remark that some of them have a good performance system.
Yeah, it's Oracle, eh? That's a lot. I'm allowed to bash Oracle, so that's... I think for BW only customers, it is a shame though that a lot of the efforts go on to BW and HANA because they're missing some of the functionality there. And some of the functionality is only released for HANA, not for BW. So, Sofia, I think you,
Well, this is the first time TechEd for me, so I'm just looking around, having fun, talk to people, and looking at the book at the Spring Press store. But I think it's quite a gamble to choose the right sessions, because Tuesday I didn't hear that many new things. And at the end of the day, we had the demo jam, Ronald and Ramon lost. So I was a bit disappointed because, yeah, is this TechEd?
Why didn't we bribe more people, actually?
I should have clapped harder, yeah. So I think, you have to have a bit of luck with the sessions. Yesterday, on the other hand, I had a very good predictive analysis hands-on session. So the tool you already described, I used it. And it's pretty powerful. You have to know a bit about R and statistics to use it. But the tool itself, it works.
Any one of the users, is there some strategy to pick the right tools, the right sessions?
What I take away from the TechEd mainly as a VI architect is the change from info object design to field design, and what can we do with these. With these different possibilities going forward, and which decisions should you take as a customer looking at your future developments and the possibilities, because it all of a sudden opens up a whole new way of designing your database.
Well, is that something you heard for the first time at TechEd, or when I follow my Twitter feed on a day-to-day basis, I hear about 80-90% of the news and the things that are happening, so...
No, that's not new, but on the TechEd it gives you the possibility to hands-on, see all the tools connect together and really see where the bugs are. So in the hands-on sessions I followed, you see the tools fall over, you see where the gaps still are, you get to play around with it, and you get to speak to the designers and developers who actually can explain in more detail.
Yeah, I think that's the power of TechEd, and not for the common knowledge and
And what also always strikes me at TechEd is that, actually I've been to a couple of them, but is that people are also extremely honest. So TechEd of course has the majority of the people around here are technical people, and if you also go to these sessions where these product developers are there, they're also quite honest about their own product. And they're telling what is good about it, but also what is not good about it, and what is going to happen in the near future. So I think that's also for me quite a nice change. So do we have any questions from the audience? Maybe any topics you would like to us to comment on? Anybody? No. Ah.
Yeah. Yes, as most of you are on the front end side, I like to as Thomas was there as well, we were at a session where a French company showed that they connected business objects straight onto a HANA database, bypassing complete BW design. And what do you think of those kind of creative solutions, which they were also allowed to present at the Tech Ed, which I found was really nice.
Did it work? Was it fast?
I'm first time here as well. So what they did, actually, they used SLT, which is the replication tool, which is the existing ERP system, Oracle, whatever database they have. So they used SLT as an ETL tool, so they're extracting the data out real time, do the transformation, and then load it to the HANA. And they skip the whole BW solution entirely, just throw it away, and then put the business object top of it, and they do the reporting real time on business object. So it was an interesting concept, and I think it's opening up the way what it's supposed to be or not supposed to be. So it depends, because if you really say, you know, I'm not saying loudly, just through the internet, but the SAP is a data jail. So if you put the data in, then you just have to use the SAP tool to get it out. And now, as far as I see, it's started to get opening, and you have the opportunity to do whatever you want to do. So you have the empty page and do whatever you want to do.
Did they use HANA Live for that, for the SAP replication and the report on top of it? Because you're saying they were working on SAP ERP, right?
Oracle and other ERP system or system they have. So they bring everything together and then created from the data model in HANA. So the HANA, they use HANA what is supposed to be a database.
But they didn't use HANA Live, the predefined set of business content between...
No, I don't think so. Because they have different sources, so I don't think so it's applied for Oracle Financial. So they done their own design and then put the business object top of it.
They have the difference between, we like to call it, you have a buy scenario. When you use BW, you have more like a buy scenario where you can use the BI content. And then you have the make scenario where you use HANA standalone. But then you have to build all the models yourself. There's no content in HANA, no BI content. And also things around the content, like analysis authorizations and stuff like that. You can use business objects in your scenario for that. But you also need the database authorizations to model them in HANA. And it's a lot more rigid than authorizations in BW, where you have the role concept, which is not built into HANA yet.
Yeah, not in HANA, but in the business object.
Yeah, for the front end, but you also need the database authorizations in your HANA database.
So you don't have the data authorization really in business object itself like you have it in BW, for example, which is of course really out of the box.
Obviously,
I'm actually doing
a
project right now that has a bit of the same scenario you're talking about right now, using only non-SAP data sources and using Design Studio on top of it. And we really had from my perspective, I was really facing a challenge with the authorization concept, because it's completely different. Luckily, it was helped by some legacy business objects consultants, which don't know anything about BW roles, so they didn't know what I was talking about. So that was, but it's a very interesting concept, using an SAP product on top of non-SAP data, because we're using the first SAP product in the company they have anyway. So I was kind of surprised of how well it worked, combining non-SAP sources and doing nothing with SAP except for HANA. So that's a pretty nice scenario.
So they had the SAP ERP as well. So they're extracting data out from R3 as well.
Yeah, okay.
And they combine the external data as well. Only financial, but looks like it was successful, at least that's how I've been told on the session. It's successful, and more and more department wants to have the same reporting capabilities. And they're focusing mainly on the real-time issue about. So if someone changing some record in Brazil, then it's kind of real-time on the headquarter.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's I mean, business objects from origin, of course, is a non-SAP product, and people have a tendency of forgetting that. But I mean, if you hook it up to a native database which is outside SAP, it is still a freakingly incredibly good product, and that we should not forget that. But I don't think we do. And by the way, there's also a nice blog post on SCN about using an ABAP program to replicate data. So not using SLT, but using just a custom program. So if you're on a bit of on the cheap side, then you could use that one instead of paying some
licenses. Now comes the hardcore coding.
There comes the hacker in me again.
Just one comment, actually the SLT is NABAP.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're doing exactly the same. So it's all SAP transaction and then the SAP code generated behind, which is doing the replication.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Great stuff. Gentlemen, we are at 30 minutes, Mark, and what we have always learned is that if you go above 40 minutes, then our numbers always start dropping. We have some analysis on that. So we had we used Kixian. What's the? I keep forgetting the name.
KXEN.
Okay. Well, we need a new name. But, but
actually,
anyway.
Actually, we used the waterfall chart, and the dropping down was the numbers of the people watching.
Oh yeah, you found a new chart, right? What was that again?
Here it comes. Here.
I discussed a bit with you yesterday. I saw a chart in the presentation that was not a bar chart. And normally a bar chart has a horizontal line with bars on top of it. But those guys, they twisted the horizontal line into a circle and they made a circular bar chart. So imagine the sun with all the sun things.
Oh, okay.
And that as a chart. To the outside, yeah, of course. Yeah. 360 degrees chart. So that's step number one, and I was discussing it with Sjoerd, how can we improve this? So we can add a pie chart to it, to make it a...
Which page is that, Sofie, by the way?
Yeah, that's page 600, somewhere in the appendix. Create
that's
your own chart.
The custom component add-on.
So what we want to try to do is to improve it with a pie chart, make it 3D, exploding, so we can have the ultimate business objects BI chart. In the next release of Web Intelligence.
Can we also have alternating blinking colors? That would be the completion.
More good ideas. More good.
Yeah, you say next release of Web Intelligence.
Yeah, 4.2, I guess.
Doctor Who.
Next year.
We call it Christmas colors, it's the blinking name.
Okay. Guys, I think we need to wrap it up, but not before, of course, we do the most important thing we're doing this week, and that is giving away free stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you want to do this?
Well, I think
I'll give the mic to Xavier, because you guys are, of course, the founding
father. We want to give this product, of course, only really the design studio connoisseurs, the really know something about design studio and can appreciate the product, because this is the last book available in Europe.
It's sold out at this moment.
It's sold out here.
More are coming.
At the separate office, you can only get the promise they will send you a book later on, but we have one still available. We had to strangle some salespeople, but we have it. So we're going to ask a question, raise your hand, and the first one, you have the right answer, you get the book. Is that reasonable?
Okay. Yes.
Which two buttons of your keyboard you need the most in Design Studio?
Raise your hands, quick! Shoot, what's the first one?
Shoot, you're a verb, please tell.
Delete.
Sorry.
Okay,
I'll get the answer. It's in the script editor.
We have another one.
Second one.
CTRS.
Yes, we have a winner here.
Right. Torsten
Voss is the winner of the book. Congratulations. If you want the autograph, you're happy to provide it.
Don't spill it. Let's keep it safe.
That's a collector's item then.
Oh, yes. Well, it's already a collector's item, I think. Right, everybody. I would like to sign off then. And so I'll do a short outro. And thank you very much for attending this expert session, which was actually the Nederlandse BI podcast. And I'm very happy that you guys were willing to take a listen. And also to interact with us, because that is the most important thing which we want to achieve with this podcast, is to show you, to give you some honest feedback on the SAP products. I can tell you what's good at it, tell you what's bad about it. Now, if you're mastering the Dutch language, I would say go to iTunes and list. And every month or so, we'll be sure to send a new fresh copy to you guys. Thank you very much for your attention. And this will be online in about an hour or so. So you can
thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. Thanks.